Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back live in D.C. Thanks to Linnell for the update. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan, your flagship home for Nats baseball. And the Nats have a new team president and general manager that they've got to decide on in the future and a new manager to hunt down this offseason. We'll be talking about that with Jeff Passan in just a moment. We're brought to you today every day by the law firm Condori and Murad.
Exclusively so. You can hit them up for estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
A 17-word tweet changed D.C. baseball for a long, long time last night. It came from Jeff Passan right around 6:30 local time. The best writer covering baseball in America is also the top newsbreaker, and he joins us now. The tweet was, breaking, the Nationals have fired general manager Mike Rizzo and manager Dave Martinez, sources tell ESPN. So, Jeff, first of all, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are well. We appreciate you making time for us. We know you're busy. What do you make of the timing of this? The week of the Major League Baseball draft, the month of the trade deadline, Rizzo having run both of those things for 17 years here.
The timing doesn't make a whole lot of sense in a vacuum, but if you look at the fact that Dave Martinez's contract option needed to be decided on by next week, that was the deadline for it. And the Nationals brass decided that they were not going to pick it up. I think they were really scared of Jim Riggleman 2.0. And that is something that I've been talking about this all day on other radio stations and haven't been able to bring up Jim Riggleman because people don't understand what a disaster it was. But you guys know, like, it was a mess. You know, the team was winning and he said, either you pick up my option for next year or I'm going to quit. And Mike Rizzo called his bluff and he quit in the middle of a season, in the middle of a successful run. And everybody was so confused by it. And the prospect of having Dave Martinez playing out the year as a lame duck manager, just did not appeal to the Nationals, and understandably so. But, I would have thought, if given all of those circumstances before that, that they would have let go of him but kept Mike Rizzo on at least through the trade deadline. Clearly, though, they the ownership group saw the two as a pair, as tethered together, and decided to make the change in one fell swoop. And while I know that Mike DiBartolo will be plenty prepared for this, and he's the sort of guy who is very judicious in how he goes about forming his opinions, it's a whole lot different when you're in the big chair, you know, when you're the person who is saying yes or no to a trade, yes or no to, are we going to take this guy with the number one overall pick? Only the third time we've had that in our franchise history, when the first two were Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper. It's a lot of pressure to put on a guy, but it's a mantle that he is taking with open arms, and you just hope, if you're a Nationals fan right now, that they nail this pick, because it's going to be one of the most important in the history of the team.
Well said. Jeff Passan of ESPN. So to go back to them being inextricably linked, so to speak, you know, so the 15th is when I heard Davies' deadline was to pick up the option in 8 days, as you said, and that was for $2.5 million, and they weren't going to do that, and I totally understand that. But I want to double click on this idea that then Rizzo couldn't have GM'd out the season. Was his option also this month, do we know? Because I haven't been able to confirm that. And the reason I ask is, in asking around to other executives, that would be really weird. If his option is between the draft and the trade deadline, like that would have been set up from the beginning to be dysfunctional.
Others have reported that. I have not independently gotten that information. So that is something that I do not know the answer to. And
isn't that uncommon, though, Jeff? Wouldn't that? I mean, that just seems like it makes no sense to me. That his option would be now.
You know what, though? Having a manager's option in the middle of the season is weird, too.
That's a good point.
That's the sort of standard operating procedure you generally see either. Like these are decisions that tend to be made before or after seasons, not in the middle of them.
Jeff, on a pretty simple scale, they haven't been very good, this Nationals team. Second most losses in the big since they won the World Series in 2019. So people losing their jobs over that, this is pro sports, that kind of makes sense. But what is your sense of ownership and where they are, where they've been, what's going on there? Because our perception here is they're pretty disconnected, disinterested, and this is kind of the first time they've come out of their cave to actually make a major baseball decision. So I kind of wonder, just A, just your perspective on that, but B, kind of what criteria are they judging against with a hamstring budget?
That is a great question, and I think it's one that Mark Lerner, frankly, owes the fans an explanation on. I think that if he wants people to continue coming out to Nationals Park and to believing in this team and what the future looks like, there needs to be a little bit more transparency in this situation, especially before you go out and hire a full-time person. Maybe that's Mike DiBartolo. Maybe it's somebody from the outside, but what I do know is that the Nationals, just in their approach to baseball operations, have differed from other franchises. They have leaned less on the analytics side of things, and I think it's fair to wonder just how much of an overhaul is Mark Lerner willing to fund. And I say fund both in the respect of, does he want to bring in, a higher profile general manager or somebody who's got experience and might cost a little bit more? Or does he want to bring in somebody who has that analytics background and is intending on taking the Nationals at very least up to the baseline of where other organizations are right now? Because I don't think they're there at this point, or at very least, they have not applied the information in the same way that other organizations do. But most of all, like, do you want to win? I think that's a reasonable question for somebody to ask him at this point, because what have the Nationals, in terms of their budget and their payroll, shown fans over the last 5 years, other than, I'm not going to say a disinclination to go out and win, but sorry, when you're a team in Washington, D.C., and your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Toronto Blue Jay, what are you trying to do here? Like, are you really expecting this leap forward when, a lot of the guys who you're expecting it from are coming from within the farm system, and players often take, as we saw with James Wood, a year to get their sea legs under them and to figure out how to be a productive player at the big league level. And right now, the Nats have three of those. James Wood, DJ Abrams, and Mackenzie Gore, all of whom happen to have come over in the Juan Soto trade, which I'm not going to say it saved this franchise, but it pretty much saved this franchise from becoming like an ignominious level team of the ilk with the White Sox and the Rockies.
Yeah, without that trade, I don't know how big of a difference there is between those teams and the Nationals. We've been trying to do this blame pie thing where we start with the premise that they don't spend enough money, and you're a 70.5 win projected team among odds makers, and your highest paid player that's actually on the field is Nathaniel Lowe, a first baseman who's, you know, going to go 25-100 this year maybe, but is a declining skill set. Your second highest paid player is Mike Soroka. Like, you don't get to make the playoffs when that's your roster. There was no commitment.
Correct.
And that's a fact. The other side is, for a long time, they've drafted and developed poorly. I wonder about resources in a week where the Washington Post wrote a story and said they don't have this technology that everybody's had for 5 years still. Mike Rizzo came on our station this week and said, oh, we're getting it. Okay, I guess that's cool in 2025 that they're getting the thing that some teams got in 2019. But I guess my question to you is, and maybe it doesn't matter, were they really bad at drafting and developing under Mike Rizzo to the point that blowing him out makes sense? Or is there a larger problem here that makes that almost insignificant with ownership?
I think it's more the latter than the former, but the former really brings light to it all, right? Like, if they drafted and developed better than they have, then I don't think we're spending as much time talking about the financial element of things. It's the Milwaukee Brewers corollary, the Cleveland Guardians corollary. Like, if you succeed, it papers over a lot of those warts. Like, you just don't care about them quite as much because, hey, we're winning still. And maybe not winning to the extent that they could, should, in the eyes of the fans need to, but hey, at least they still have a winning culture there. That has not been the case with the Nationals at this point. And I think it absolutely begins with what sort of resources are given to the people who are running the baseball operations department. And when it comes to resources, the Nationals have lagged behind for years, and they don't seem particularly inclined to change that at this point. That goes directly back on ownership. And, you know, I remember 2019, guys. I remember just how good that team was. You know, despite the start, it was a really, really good team. Like, by the time they got around to the playoffs, they were a formidable bunch. And I remember at the GM meetings, I was talking to somebody with the Nats, and I was like, you guys are going to go after Alex Bregman, right? And he's like, no. He's like, that's how much money we have for, like, 1 year of Alex Bregman is how much we have for, like, the entirety of the offseason. And that to me was damning, because, look, 5 years down the road, we might look back at Mike Rizzo's tenure in a little different light. If Dylan Cruz figures it out, that changes things. If Brady House becomes a full-time third baseman hitting 25 home runs a year, that changes things. It's still a little too early, I think, to not to assess, but to pass judgment on what the most recent drafts have looked like. And Seaver King's another guy who, you know, in his first year, getting his feet wet, getting time to go out and develop. But it all starts, guys, with the money. And if you don't have any, it hamstrings you from the beginning.
Jeff Passan with us here on Grant and Danny. So kind of to that end, forget about money part for a second when it comes to the learners. Give me the national perspective. I know folks just anecdotally in commercial real estate, for example, that have dealt with them, and the story's always the same. They do it their way. They negotiate by saying the price is a dollar, and then someone goes, what about 80 cents? The price is a dollar, and they do it until you go, screw it, and then you pay the dollar, and that's how they've made their billions over the years, right? They've just done their way, and I think that's been kind of translated to Major League Baseball, where they've done things their way, I think much to the irritation of folks at times. But I'd love for you to speak to that, Jeff, if you could.
Yeah. Well, when you have the second most losses since winning a World Series, maybe your way needs to change. Like, that's the question I really have about the Nationals organization is just how self-aware are they? Right. How much does ownership know about how this organization runs? But beyond that, how other organizations run, how other organizations are leveraging their assets to win baseball games. And how do the Nationals compare to that? And you know, I think the best and most successful people in professional sports are the most curious, the ones who know that they really don't know a whole lot. And they're constantly trying to learn and understand their place in the game better. And there's been this gravitation, I think, of teams, particularly mid and small market teams, toward staying away from free agency. It's an inefficient market, and you're buying downside years. And all those arguments, they're valid. They're salient. They're true. But there aren't all that many ways to acquire players, right? You can get them in the domestic amateur draft. You can get them as teenagers in the international pool. And then beyond that, it's either trades or free agent signings. And with trades, you're giving up talent to get talent. Whereas with free agent signings, you're giving up money. And, last I checked, the learners were very rich, and a lot of money and a lot of opportunity to take this team and turn it into something else. And we've seen it before, guys. We saw $245 million for Steven Strasburg. We have seen them go out. I know this is a while ago now, but $126 million for Jason Worth. Yeah, they let Anthony Rendon walk. Yeah, they let Bryce Harper walk. So it's not always re-signing their guys. But it's not like this team hasn't been willing to go out on a limb financially in the past. And, you know, I would argue that Max Scherzer's original deal with the Nationals was one of the five best deals of this century. Like, he was incredible the whole time here, worth every single penny that they were paying him over those 7 years.
$210 million. For Scherzer, there's almost like the line in the sand of before and after Ted Lerner stopped running the team, because all of the stuff you referenced was still with him as the steward. Jeff Passan is with us. We'll let you out on this, Jeff, because I know you got a lot to do.
It's not almost a line, by the way.
Yeah,
that's the line.
Oh yeah, interesting.
There is a clear line.
Some kind of correlation. I can't figure it out.
I'll let you out on this one, but I just wanted to get some names. You're so plugged in of possible GM candidates. Managerial candidates, and I don't even mean necessarily that the Nats have been or will be linked to, but just who are those guys right now in baseball that you would say, you need a GM, this is someone I would talk to, and similar for manager?
It is, I'm sorry for the cop-out here. I don't know what they want, right? Like, if they want an old-school guy, there are some of those available. If they want to go more toward analytics, there are plenty of those available. If they want to find someone who is well-versed in both, they can do that. I'll say this. If I'm the Lerner family right now, I am trying to give Eric Neander the Godfather deal. With the Rays potentially being sold, Neander went to Virginia Tech. So he has, I understand Blacksburg is not Washington, D.C., but, you know, Virginia is pretty close. And I would try and get him in and let him work his magic on this organization, because he is very, very good at what he does, both in building cultures and in building winning teams. And I think it all starts there. We're going to see just how much money Mark Lerner is willing to spend on a general manager and a manager, arguably the two most important people in an organization beyond the players. And they have to get these hires right. So, it could end up maybe Mike DiBartolo does a great job at the deadline, does a great job in the draft, not start winning a little bit more, and they land on him as the guy. But if you're looking external, I think you got to take moonshots, because this organization, it's not just bad now. The farm system's not very good either. So it's not like going forward, they're in a great position to turn things around at this point.
Jeff, great with us, man. Really appreciate the time. Have an awesome week.
Boys, my pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
The outstanding Jeff Passan. Check him out on ESPN. He broke the story last night that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez had been fired by the Nationals. Your reactions to that next. at 800-636-1067, and we'll get back into some of your calls on the surprising news of last night that Davey and Rizzo were out. Are you in any way surprised that it was a package deal? Do you think that it was always going to be? Did it need to be? This is The Fan.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Most of all, like, do you want to win? I think that's a reasonable question for somebody to ask him at this point, because what have the Nationals, in terms of their budget and their payroll, shown fans over the last 5 years, other than, I'm not going to say a disinclination to go out and win, but sorry, when you're a team in Washington, D.C., and your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Toronto Blue Jay, what are you trying to do here?
I mean, those are bars from Jeff Passan. Your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Blue Jay. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off. But at least we got to see the boys get kicked around by the Red Sox all weekend. And a kid from Marshall High School got the nod on Sunday afternoon. Oh, wait, that was Shin Ogasawara. I'm throwing 88 miles an hour. My apologies. 21 runs in the first two games of that series given up against Boston. Swept, outscored 27-9. The Nats 9-25 since the start of June. They have fired Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. Just had Jeff Passan on. Your biggest takeaway?
The sort of, again, any conversation about Davey and Mike Rizzo, it's all fair, but you can't go more than 2 seconds without going, and by the way, what's up with ownership? You know what I mean? Like any discussion where you're calling balls and strikes, forgive the pun, about baseball, and hey, this is disappointing. You didn't draft well, and that's, but what about ownership? What about those guys when you don't have any payroll And yeah, like let's say you'd nailed. Let's say you'd made the best possible decision with the $1 million you're spending on Colin Pochet, or the $3 million on Jorge Lopez, or the whatever it was $5 million, $6 million on Lucas Sims. Let's say you'd gotten out of the park home runs with those dudes. Still not a playoff ball club. Still not a good team. You're still down in the dregs. It's rearranging deck chairs. You want to hold someone responsible for not getting those calls right? Totally fine. You should have drafted someone else 7 years ago. Totally fine. None of it matters unless you're doing what you're supposed to do in the C-suite. And I think that's the takeaway. That's always kind of the anchor part of the conversation to me, is it always sort of returns to that like a magnet.
I was sent this Brooksgate tweet from March by a listener, and I don't know how they tabulate all of this and if it's gospel, but it's interesting enough to pass along. How much revenue each team generated last year coming in, and how much of that is going toward their payroll this year? And this was going into opening day this season. And the Nats ranked in the bottom eight or so in baseball in this regard. They generated $325 million, the same as, say, the Cincinnati Reds, and they put about the same amount to the payroll. 42.3% of payroll of the revenue, essentially, is what they turned around and spent. So, like, the Mets, as an example, their revenue coming in was $444 million. And their 2025 payroll and tax, $400 million, 90% ratio for them. For the Nationals, it's 42%. You've got teams that are worse, like Miami and the White Sox and the Pirates. In fact, the Cubs are really the only legitimate bigger market contender that has a lower ratio than the Nationals do. Otherwise, it's some really small market teams like Milwaukee and the Tampa Bay Rays. Let's go to Steve, who's been waiting in Bethesda. Steve, for the first time since my senior year of high school, we're talking about the Nats, and Mike Rizzo is not one of their top executives.
From Bethesda!
Are you there? You will get nothing.
Oh, man.
And you will like it. Let's go to Dickie in Arlington. Dickie, we are on an 18-year run here with Mike Rizzo as the head of Nationals baseball and the baseball outfit. It's over. What do you make of it?
Well, the job's not finished. Simply, we need to treat the learners like their last name Snyder. You need to boycott the ballpark that has, by the way, the most expensive beer in baseball. James Wood, at this rate, is going to be playing for the Phillies in 5 years, and the Nationals might be playing in Nashville. So if we don't boycott the learners and they don't sell, this is all just going to be a merry-go-round, Grant.
Well, here's the problem. If you do boycott, then there's a better chance they're playing in Nashville and James Wood's in Philly.
Yeah, but at this point, I mean, what have they shown you that they're going to re-sign these guys? I mean, I'm watching Juan Soto come up to the plate in a Mets jersey. Trey Turner's up in Philly playing with his buddy Bryce. I mean, those are guys that I thought I would, you know, they would be retiring in Nationals jerseys.
So it's a good phone call. Thank you.
I mean, listen, there's some guys where you go, for a lot of organizations, it's probably actually smart that you didn't give them the 15-year, $2 trillion deal. Like, I don't know that would have been a smart move for the Nationals to meet Soto's asking price, right? He could be a star for you on a last-place team. That's a huge commitment, and only a handful of teams are going to do it. And most of the time what happens in these big mega free agent deals is the last however many years, you don't live up to the billing, and you're kind of left with that albatross of a contract. So it's not every time that it's a bad move, but one of the guys, one Trey Turner, one dude that's not Steven Strasburg who'll never pitch again. You know what I mean? I understand that pathology from the fan. When you're talking about a franchise that hasn't been able to demonstrate to you that they even care about the things that you're supposed to care about, how do you have any kind of confidence? How do you have any kind of faith that now's the sign? And Barry pointed this out in his column, and it's the first thought that I had. Is this, my answer is probably not, by the way, but this is my only hope. Is this a fledgling spark for re-engagement from the ownership group? Will they actually do ownership stuff? Will they be available? Will they be accountable? Will they try, even if you're doing it on a bare-bones budget, do that. Go all in on that. Do something besides nothing for a long time and then be exasperated that the results aren't very good.
800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. The only thing I would say to the James Wood is not going to be here because of the learners point is that if James Wood's not here, it has more to do with Scott Boras than the learners, in my opinion. There was no amount of money you could have paid Juan Soto to keep him from free agency. It's not like they didn't make a really damn good offer. Now, I can also, in the same side, of, you know, maybe it's a different side of my mouth, but in the same sentence, say they didn't offer anything close to what he would have needed to get serious. But in a world where, yes, the player theoretically works for the agent, you hire Scott Boras because you want to get paid the most money. There's a lot of good agents in baseball that are willing to do deals with guys ahead of free agency. And Scott Boras will even have some of his players occasionally sign deals ahead of free agency, specifically pitchers who have potential arm problems like Steven Strasburg or possibly, you know, other free agents. But when Juan Soto can reinvent the industry financially, when he can absolutely change a generation's worth of what players are valued at, Scott Boras is taking him to market. James Wood is going to be the same way. I said this on my reaction show I was doing live for a couple hours on The Fan yesterday. If you want to listen to any of that, it's available on the new Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast. But I brought up that I remember one time bumping into Boras at a ballpark or something and just saying, man, this Juan Soto kid. And he's like, he's a centurion. And his point was he is a once-in-a-century player. This is not a generational player. His line that he used with teams, I'm sure, because he used it with me, was this is a once-in-a-century player.
Mm-hmm.
And James Wood is that dude, too. That is how he's going to market James Wood. So when James Wood goes to free agency, and he will go to free agency, I would imagine, it's not going to be because the learners are cheap. The reason that Nathan Lowe's your highest-paid player is because of that. The reason you didn't sign Nathan Walker was a Capital. Christian Walker at first base is because of that. The reason you didn't go get the 25 home run power bat in the outfield is because of that. The reason you're not going to sign James Wood is because James Wood and Scott Boras are going to break records in free agency. Is there a very small chance, glimmer of hope, man do I pray, that James Wood, a D.C. kid who went to St. John's College High School, who's from Olney, Maryland, says to Scott Boras, this is where I want to be. I want to be here forever. Let's sign with the Nats. I suppose so. And then you work for him and you try to talk him out of it for an extended period of time, and eventually you get the deal done with the Nats for the most money possible. I guess in a fairy tale, that is a possibility. But I don't think you go with Scott Boras as an agent if that's the game you want to play.
Right.
And so, he's going to play somewhere else, I bet, in several years. It shouldn't, in my opinion, change your fandom now. That is less the problem, in my opinion, than 800 other things that they have done incorrectly. They got James Wood. They're going to have him for the early part of his career. He could win multiple MVP awards here if you surround him with some damn talent. The issue isn't that he might walk years from now. It's a frustration and an annoyance, and I understand that. But trust me when I tell you, him going out to San Diego and playing in front of 42,000 and then Dodger Stadium in front of 46,000 and coming back and playing in front of 8,000 at Nats Park, who are booing him.
It'll open your eyes.
Doesn't make him want to sign here that much either. You know, finishing ninth in All-Star Game fan validating doesn't make him want to sign that much here either, probably also. Now, this is not me blaming you. It's a vicious cycle. I know where we are and how we got here and that you guys are the victims in the process, if you want to say that. But it is also a reality. So when you say, let's boycott, we're not going to have James Wood, let's not go, let's turn our backs on the team. Meanwhile, James Wood's one of the great young stars in the game and nobody's voting for him to go to the All-Star game or sitting in the crowd wearing his jersey. You're right. He's going to be on the first plane out of here. Why the hell wouldn't he be? He's about to go play in front of a mediocre Cardinals team where they're packing the joint and everybody's singing some wacky Cardinals song in the fourth inning tonight, tomorrow. It's just a different thing. Let's go to Barbara in Manassas. What's up, Barbara?
Barbara.
Okay, guys, let's pick it up.
Here we go.
We can do this.
Here we go. Little
We're
slump.
Having a good show.
Little slump.
This is the part where we let you guys take ownership of the program for a few minutes on the phones. Let's try not to ruin it. Let's go to JR in Boston. Hey, JR, how are you?
Oh, living a dream, fellas.
There you go. You know about sports talk radio
from
in Boston. You know how to do it
exactly.
On the Odyssey app.
So now I fully admit, like, I'm not a huge, like, Nats fan because I grew up in the 80s and 90s and it didn't exist when I was living there. But the problem you're having with ownership, which this is literally, I would say, 99% on ownership, is just like the ownership up here where they pretend to do things and then don't. I mean, we just traded away they traded away Devers for next to nothing. But the biggest problem that you guys haven't a chance to even talk about yet is the fact that the manager they have now was like the 10th person they asked. So if ownership doesn't get their crap together, they're going to have a tough time finding the guy they want, because everyone's going to be like, why would I come there if you're not going to spend money? And then the ownership is going to make the next manager look bad.
Well, don't mistake this. I am worried about these searches. Passan just came on. He named one possible executive he would go after, and it's the right name. Eric DeAndre runs the Rays, and there's some feeling around baseball that because they're going through an ownership change and a ballpark fiasco at this point, that maybe he could be had at the right price. Number one, I don't think they would spend what it would take. But number two, I don't know that he or any legitimate star executive or manager would want to come work here right now. And that is one of my greatest fears. I always just say that with the Redskins, though, and then they would get the guy. I do think money talks
money
to
fixes
an extent,
it. Yeah,
but the they have to pay.
Well, the money part and the promise of power, right? Anybody knows how to turn on any of these billionaires know how to turn on the charm. Dan Snyder certainly did, where I would never work for that kind of guy. Marty Schottenheimer turns on and works for him because Dan Snyder poured honey potion, said this number million of dollars, this amount of authority, this amount of buck stops with you. Oh, great. I get all the power and my will be done. That's appealing to folks. Now, whether they follow through with that, TBD.
Money talks. Does not that much money talk? That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Just below market value talk.
Ryan and I were yelling about this before the show, right? Ryan's excited, as well he should be. It's an opportunity to do it right. It's an opportunity to try something else and get a fresh start. I am way more worried about it getting worse than I am excited about it getting better. I think I'm in the minority on that. But my point is, can you do a lot better than Mike Rizzo and what they've been as a front office in 2025, the year of our Lord? Of course you can. You could go young and fresh and analytical and data-driven, and you could be Cleveland or you could be Tampa Bay or something. That would be awesome. I also know you could do a lot worse. And I know that you're pulling an 18-wheeler trying to run this thing. So, yeah, I'm nervous. But that is a reality. What does this search look like? Are they going to spend? I think it's going to tell us everything, by the way.
Yeah.
About the future of this ownership.
Because that's the question, right? What is this ownership? If they go back to doing what they were doing, then this is all literally rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. If this is actually the beginning of re-engagement, this is the beginning of we need to take an authoritative, assertive role, good or bad, but be involved, then some good can come out of it. Right? If you re-engage, I mean, the way things are now, I think it's worse than people know. It's in terms of how chaotic and how dysfunctional all this stuff is, right? A lot of good people are not there anymore. A lot of good people are jumping ship for a good reason. It's chaos.
I mean, and that's non-baseball you're talking about.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, people cannot wait to get out in some cases. Our double play scheduled for 3:45 every single day is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are blitzing at 4 o'clock. Former Major League Baseball GM Jim Duquette is with us today at 5 on Grant and Danny.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It is time for our double play on Grant and Danny, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
So I got a question for you, GP. I'll do this quick because we got some American big old thing of news that happened yesterday you might have heard about. So I played some pickup hoops yesterday morning with a good group in the neighborhood. I turned it over a couple of times. Bricked a couple of shots, right? Standard, normal stuff that happens. There's some younger players in the group, too. The teams were divvied up, supposed to be, like, fairly evenly by one of the adults in charge. So I basically, I was pissed off, but also in sincerity, trying to probably do the best thing for the team, decided I'm putting myself on offensive probation. I'm here to pass, screen away, me trying to create right now, sweaty, gross, I'm kicking it off my own foot. I'm dribbling it out of bounds. I'm throwing passes away. I'm throwing up bricks. I put myself on offensive probation where if it's a layup, I will take it. Otherwise, I'm here to set screens, make some passes and rebounds. I wonder what that looked like to the guys that I was playing with, though, who don't know me all that well. I wonder if it looks like it was just like this pounding tantrum weirdness or, yes. Or if it's a welcome thing where it's like, hey, he's not playing so great. Why don't I can, well, maybe he's just trying to help the team. Your thoughts?
I think it's the game where Gilbert Arenas was mad that people said he was a ball hog, so he didn't shoot.
So he did was pass the whole
Remember
time?
Remember that? He had like 2 points and 14 assists in the first half. Yeah, I think you threw a fit. Knowing you a little bit as a sports player, athlete type, I think you, it definitely was a pout fest, for sure.
Because the last straw was...
Because whatever you did, you didn't do it quietly. You needed everyone to know you were bothered about it.
No, it was pretty quiet.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, so I wouldn't even have thought about it. Until there was a moment where I was actually open and passed up a shot. I was over my last whatever. And one of the younger players on my team goes, shoot that. And I was like, no, dude, I'm on offensive probation. I've been struggling so much. Just you take it. And nobody said anything else about it. But I wonder what that looked like. Because my thought quite literally was, I'm not helping the ball club right now trying to take someone off the dribble. Another guy that's in his 40s. The last time I tried to do that, I stutter stepped, went with a hezzy, and the ball just went flying. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to start the crossover. Never did anything to crossover because the ball just went skirting out of bounds off a tree and into like the where the tarp is.
But they probably, I would imagine, would think, oh, we're just dudes out here getting shots up. It doesn't matter if he's helping the team or not because this isn't the Wizards against the Rockets.
Right.
So he probably should just keep taking shots.
Probably just keep throwing them, even when it's just masonry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would think that they're not overly concerned about that or that. Like, they probably wouldn't be playing pickup basketball with a 47-year-old on a Sunday morning. I want to know more about the schedule. You had no activities, no kid stuff?
No, very rare. July 4th weekend, man. No sport.
That's amazing, because you normally have to play. Like, you're a nighttime pickup guy.
That's right.
So the idea of a weekend free without anything, so you could just leave and play basketball, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, for an hour in the morning, and got back home in time.
What time was tip-off?
I think 9 a.m.
That's an early run.
Yeah. So
that's part of why.
Yeah. So again, it's all grown ups.
Kids are just lounging around eating cereal.
Yeah. Like my guys were, I think, had just gotten out of bed as I was leaving for it. So that was fine. Our Sunday morning, everyone's accounted for and the like. But that's what I wondered. And I'm like, I don't know that I'll do that again, but I see how it looked. Once that guy was like, hey, shoot that. I'm like, nah, I've been struggling enough. And it's like, no, that's probably still okay to pull, even if you're over your last 15.
I'll bet you were playing better than in your mind you thought you were, too. I bet it wasn't as bad as you think it was.
Wasn't good.
Presumed Innocent. Have you heard of it?
No.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Apple TV. Banger.
Really?
This was good. We got ourselves a Paulson whodunit, Danny.
I guarantee you it's 8 episodes or less, and it's already wrapped up and over.
8 episodes, yeah. Binged, miniseries, Apple TV, acting out the wazoo. I got to think of this guy who's in a bunch of shows just like this, who is so good. His character in this show you would love. As I'm watching it, I'm going, Danny would mark out for him.
Mm.
Look up the actor Bill Camp and tell me you don't love everything he's in.
Yeah, Bill Camp, he was in your show, where he played Box. Yeah, where he was haymaker detective.
He is a haymaker prosecutor,
yeah,
essentially.
So on the show that you loved, if I'd gotten 8 episodes of that guy just interrogating people,
yeah,
I would have gone, this is one of the great shows of all time.
He is such a good character, again. Mm-hmm. It's kind of missed, you know, what's the word, like typecast, because it's very similar.
Character actor, whatever they say.
But my God, was he good. All-time great character for me. But Jake Gyllenhaal's acting, the writing, this is based on an old movie. So a lot of people who have seen the movie are going to go into this not eyes wide open like I was, mm-hmm, right? But they're going to feel like they have most of the things down, and then you got to watch for some twists and turns along the way. But Presumed Innocent, 8.5 Buffalo Wings out of 10.
I've seen a lot of these actors and stuff. Peter Sarsgaard is in it?
He's in everything.
That guy's in everything.
Yes. Great cast. It's Apple, man. They spend lots of money on things to make great programs.
Now, wait a minute. Spending more money, there's a correlation sometimes to the...
You might be onto something.
Huh.
Steven in Arlington, what's up?
I'm a former season ticket holder from 2005 to 2018. And my big thing with the Nats, they never re-signed any position players other than Zimmerman.
That's true. That always confronted me.
It was one of the reasons I finally dropped my season tickets, because you get invested in these guys, you'd like these guys. These guys were good players, and they would never re-sign any of them.
Yeah, I always point this out. First of all, you're right, and it's maddening, and it's unacceptable to an extent. It can't be all of them getting away. Most of them fine.
Right.
Some of them are. Totally.
A lot of times it's smart to let guys walk.
Absolutely. Harper, you can make the case, was a good decision looking back. Rendon, obviously, was a banner decision looking back. So you can't go back and be livid still now, although I certainly was beating the drums to re-sign Rendon and wanted him brought back. And who knows, maybe it would have worked out differently if he stayed here. But I separate the Boris guys, who were almost always as stars going to the market. So that is, in the past, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, okay? And currently, that's James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Mackenzie Gore. Makes it really, really hard. There are teams like the Braves who literally won't do business with him. They just won't have his guys on their team. It's harder to win that way. You're taking some of the great players in baseball. You're shrinking your talent pool and saying, all right, of the 27 best players in the game, 14 of them we can't have. Of the other 13, let's try to get those guys. So I don't think that's good practice. I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't avoid drafting his guys in the draft, stuff like that. But there are teams that do. But then I look at the other guys, like Trey Turner. That one is... Now, I would not have given him the contract the Phillies did. It's a horrendous $300 million contract that's going to blow up in their face for many, many years. But way earlier on, pay that guy. The fact that they haven't gotten an extension done with C.J. Abrams yet is weird to me. Abrams is a guy you've got to pay. You've got to keep here. And that's what I fault them for. It's the Turner. It's the Abrams. Those types of players that are not Boris advised, that they haven't even gotten those guys. So we always say, oh, they can never get these Boris deals done. They haven't gotten deals done with anybody. Forget the Boris guys, other than K-Bert Ruiz.
Yeah, the only time they did get a deal done, Boris called the owner directly, basically, and hammered out a deal with Steven Strasburg. Right?
Him and Ted.
Yeah, for a kind of a crazy deal for a guy with all those arm injuries. And would you know, that one didn't work out so great.
Beltway Blitz is next. We'll go blame pie. Ownership versus baseball ops next hour. Really dive in on some percentages of where the problems lie for the Nationals. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.